The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Let me tell you, the greatest days of God's church are ahead of us. All of the darkness that's within the church, God is completely replacing it, and His church is going to shine more brightly than it ever has been before. And that is such an exciting thing, guys. We get to live in these exciting times where God is stirring up His move to transform this nation. So get excited, because you know what? God is calling you to be a part of this great move. But before I continue, I want to let you know that we are in the middle of preparing for a mission trip to the Philippines. So I want to encourage all of you that if the Lord is putting on your heart to support that mission, then go to our website, sogmi.org. And you can hit the donate button. The Lord is sending Pastor Chris there. She is going to be training young ministers that are on fire for God so that the church in the Philippines can expand and bring the gospel all across that nation, so that the Philippines will be a bastion of light for Asia and a transforming force for the gospel. And these are seeds that we at Freedom Fellowship Church are sowing into other nations, and that, you know what, we're going to reap a harvest here in America. So God has been uprooting and driving out the darkness in His church. And this darkness has manifested for years and years and years in all kinds of doctrines of men that place a heavy yoke on His people, that place strict obligations and strict expectations and a burden upon the people of God. Meanwhile, there is no power, there is no signs, there are no wonders. And maybe many of you have been in a ministry where it's just the same old preaching. It's the same old traditions. It's the same old strict regulations and requirements. And there's a greater emphasis on strict adherence to these regulations rather than pursuing God. And let me tell you, God is changing that in this season. And you know what? Many young people are desiring God. Some of them don't even know it yet. They're just looking for something that's real, but they're desiring for something that is real. They're desiring after God. Jesus said of the Pharisees and teachers of the law in Matthew chapter 23, He said, they tie up a heavy, cumbersome load and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them, right? This is hypocrisy at its peak. Imposing heavy regulations and expectations on others that they themselves are not willing to do. But this will no longer stand in the church. There is a new generation that God is raising up. People that are servant leaders, not expecting to be served, expecting others to sacrifice for them, but rather these leaders desire God and are willing to do whatever it takes to follow and obey Him. And in doing so, they will find themselves supporting others, training others, praying for others, and those are the ones who will be the greatest in the kingdom of God. As Jesus said, if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, you have to be the servant of all. In verse 6, Jesus says, and again, this is of the Pharisees and Sadducees, they love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplace and to be called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one Father, and He is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the model of leadership that we were given through Christ Jesus. And perhaps you've seen this, where pastors and spiritual leaders, just like the Pharisees, they love to be addressed with honor and with the titles. Oh, you are an apostle and so forth of the Most High. Oh, you are a prophet, so forth. And they will introduce themselves with all of these titles and credentials. They love to have the special seats at all of the events and to be invited to special occasions. But as Jesus said, the greatest among you will be your servant. The greatest leaders in the church are those that are willing to put in the work and effort to serve the body of Christ. And those that exalt themselves, they will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. There is no greater example of servant leadership than Jesus Christ himself. Here he was, the Son of the living God, creator of heaven and earth. He humbled himself and became a man. He lived among us, struggled the same struggles that we struggled, and then he went to the cross, took on all the beating, all the flogging, all the pain, went and died for us, and took on all of our sin, went to hell. He never did anything wrong. He never sinned, and yet he took on all the punishment, all of the pain for us, so that we could have eternal life. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And any Christian that seeks after the leadership position because they want to be served, they want to be recognized, they are not following the model that Christ Jesus laid out for us. They are not walking as a follower of Christ. This is why God is uprooting that wicked dark root, the idea that there is a special class of people that are more anointed than you are, that are more special than you are. Oh, well, you can't live by faith. You can't hear from God. You have to go to the anointed one, and they will hear from God on your behalf. And make sure to pray for them. Make sure to give them. Make sure to sacrifice for them. Rearrange your life for them, because they're the special class of people that you have to serve, and they will hear from the Lord God on your behalf. That is done and away with. That is one of the dark doctrines and beliefs that is done and away with in this season. Those dark days are over. And there's little ways where that mindset creeps into even our language and ways of thinking, where you might say, oh, well, you are just so anointed concerning this thing, right? And the implication is being, I could never be anointed in that manner. Understand this. Jesus said, these are the signs that will follow them that believe. They will cast out demons. They will lay hands on the sick. They will speak in other tongues. And he goes on. Are you a believer? Do you believe in Christ Jesus, that he rose again from the dead and took on all your sin? Well, if you believe that, Jesus said, these are the signs that will follow them that believe. He didn't say, oh, well, there's a small group of special people that will walk in signs and wonders. If you believe in the Son of God and you are walking in obedience to him, then signs and wonders will follow you. So the only thing required of you to walk in the supernatural with signs and wonders following is to walk in faith and obedience with reverence to the Lord Almighty. Our faith and obedience is all that is required of us. You don't need to be born into a specific family. You don't need to have gotten certain credentials or gone to a specific school or even look a certain way. All that matters is that you're willing to obey the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 1, the Lord recounts to the prophet Isaiah how Judah and Israel, they turned away from him. They forsook their God, the Lord Almighty. And then he says to them that I am going to turn against you. My hand will be against you so that I will purge away your dross. All of those impurities, all of those wicked things, they're going to be burned off of you. That's what he says. It says in verse 25, I will turn my hand against you. I will thoroughly purge away your dross and remove your impurities. Right? And this is what God has done to his church and is still doing. Those wicked roots, those operations of darkness, where sometimes we're preaching doctrines and it's not from God. Sometimes it's from the devil, when it's trying to constrict God's people, trying to control them, trying to consolidate power, right? And you've seen it, where there's all these political games that happen in ministries, right? It's like you see, it's like there's gossip that abounds. There's political mischief and scheming and backstabbing and trying to ingratiate favor with other people. And then there's leaders that are trying to maintain control, use fear tactics and manipulation tactics, right? These are the kinds of dross that God is purging out of his church. Why? Because he wants a church without spot or wrinkle. Then he says this, verse 26, I will restore your leaders, in other translations says, I will restore your judges as in the days of old, your rulers as at the beginning. And then afterwards, you will be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Now, what this is referring to is that when the nation of Israel was first established, their leaders, they were called judges. Israel had no concept of a king. The very last judge was Samuel, right? And the Israelites, they come up to Samuel and they say, you know what? We want to be like the other nations. We want a king who will rule over us, who will fight our battles for us, who will go out on our behalf, make decisions for us, all of these things, right? It was a transfer of responsibility. This guy's going to fight our battles for us. He's going to go on our behalf, and we're going to be like the other nations. And a king, you know, kind of likes that deal because he's going to get all the taxes, the money, all the resources, the palace, right? Israel asked for a king, and they rejected God as their king. But before Israel had a king, the Lord would raise up judges or leaders. And who were the judges? Well, you know, we had Samuel. Samuel was just a boy when the Lord called him. You had Gideon. Gideon said, you know, I'm from the smallest tribe and I'm not really that great myself. You had Deborah, who was the wife of Lapidoth. You had Ehud, who was a left-handed person. But something about the judges is that they were all different people groups. They each came from different tribes. There was no specific genealogy among them. So what was the common denominator among the judges? And it's actually quite simple. The judges that the Lord raised up were ordinary people who heard the voice of God and obeyed him. And the amazing thing about this is that God picked even a woman to be a judge in a time where women didn't have the same kind of rights they do today. God picked somebody like Samuel, who was just a boy in his time. But Samuel heard the voice of God and he obeyed him. So when God says, I will restore thy judges as in the days of old, means that his people are going to go back to the time when there wasn't a king. Instead, you have individual ordinary people who all have the opportunity to hear the voice of God. And some of those people who have faith and really love the Lord and will choose to obey him, they choose to, no matter what, obey God. Even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, they choose to obey God. That is the requirement for leadership in the church. That's it. You heard the voice of God, you obeyed him. And we do that day by day by day by day. Suddenly, your life begins to look very different. And something that's going to come out of this shift, the shift away from having kings, special classes of people that they are going to hear from God on your behalf. You don't need an intermediary to go between you and God and hear on your behalf. You should be entering the secret place, the holies of holies, going into his presence, abiding in the Lord, and hearing from him. All of us should be doing that. And the thing that's going to come out of this is that the church is going to stop placing such a high emphasis on preaching. For too long, we've kind of treated preaching as it's kind of like the highest calling in the church. Let me tell you, preaching is not the ultimate. There are many of us that, yes, are called to be preachers. But some of you are called to the marketplace. Some of you are going to be called to make music. Others of you are going to be called in the information technology sector. Some of you are called as lawyers, doctors, teachers, politicians. You know, we need the church in every sector of society. Not everyone's called to be a preacher. It is not the ultimate. And I want you to think about this. Think of all the heroes of the Bible, every single one of them. How many of those people were preachers? Not many of them, right? You know, you could probably argue the Apostle Paul went around preaching about the gospel. You had like Timothy, some of the apostles, right? But when you think of so many of the heroes of the Bible, you have Abraham, David. Even Jesus, by the way, did not go around preaching everywhere. Many times when he addressed ordinary folk, what did he speak in? He spoke in parables. He spoke in a manner that ordinary people could understand. Many times he wasn't even going around quoting scriptures. The people he quoted the scriptures to the most were the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders. Right? They would ask him a question, what about this Jesus? And then he would show them in the scriptures the truth. Right? We as the church don't have to go around hitting people over the head with the Bible and preaching and throwing scriptures at them. You know that if they don't know God, they don't believe in the Bible. So then what then are we called to be, right? Jesus told us to go forth and make disciples of all nations. The truth is, you need to be a living epistle where if somebody were to look at your life, they would see the hand of God in it. They would see your faith and then God's work in your life. Think, for example, of the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. What happened, right? This guy named Luke went around studying and following and hearing stories about what Peter and John and all the different apostles did after Jesus ascended into heaven, right? So he wrote an account of the things that they did in their life. And now, to this day, we are studying the account of what the apostles did during their lives, right? That's being a living epistle. So for some of you, yes, it will be preaching. But think of somebody like Abraham. God showed up in Abraham's life and said, hey, you need to leave everything behind and go to some unknown place that I'm going to show you. And Abraham got up and left. Again, God appeared to Abraham and said, hey, you and your entire family, everybody in your household that's a man, needs to be circumcised. And the scripture says that very same day, Abraham did it. Later on, God said, now sacrifice to me Isaac, the son in whom you love. Offer him to me as a sacrifice. And the scripture says the very next day, Abraham left early in the morning and brought with him Isaac. Abraham didn't go around preaching, but you know what? The account of his life is so moving, of his faith in God and trusting God, in the way in which God blessed him, that now when we read the story of his life, it inspires us to have faith in God and obey him. That is what it means to be a living epistle. That others in the world, when they look back at your life, they will see the hand of God in it. They will see your faith and obedience to the Lord, and they will see your love for the Lord. If somebody were to write an account of your life, would it inspire others to obey God and seek after him? This is a question we all need to ask ourselves. We need to decide that, you know what, I will be a living epistle, that by my very actions, I will show my faith in God. This is the reason why I say preaching is not the ultimate, because the most important thing isn't what we say. The most important thing are the things that we do. So yes, some of you will be called to preach. Some of you are going to be called to the business sector or to the media sectors, education sectors. But wherever God sends you, that is your mission field. And we have to yield in 100% obedience to God. We are going to operate as kings and priests in every sector of society. The other thing, too, is that a true faith in the Lord, it's not showy. You don't have to dress it up with a lot of overly religious language, over spiritual language to try and make yourself look better. It's simple. In the same way, Jesus, right, he told parables. Parables are really simple at face value. There's nothing big and fancy about them. He's not dressing it up. He's not trying to make it overdramatic and all of these things. He's telling things to people in a language they can understand. And our faith walk with God, it's simple in the same way. Not a lot of things. We don't have to be the most charismatic person. We don't have to be able to tell the most extravagant stories. We just have to walk our simple faith in obedience to God. Because the inverse of this, right? And maybe you've met this kind of person, right? Somebody who's overly preachy in everything they do. They're always quoting scriptures. They're always preaching. You go to a Walmart and they're preaching there. And meanwhile, they have almost nothing to show for it. All they know how to do is preach. All they know how to do is quote scriptures. You can't even have a normal conversation with this person. And then what we're doing in the church is our idea of discipleship is we have all these people who only know how to preach, and then they take on people and teach them how to preach. They'll teach them how to say the same sermons, teach the same doctrines, sometimes even tell the same jokes. And meanwhile, there's no power in it because we actually have to walk our faith. Some of you will be like David facing down Goliath. But David wasn't afraid of Goliath. He knew that God Almighty was on his side, but he still had to go and slay that giant, right? Some of you might see a big disruption. You might be like Abraham, where God says, all this realm of comfort that you're living in, you got to leave it behind and go and follow me. Some of you might be like Noah, where you get an unexpected new construction project. And I like to think of what it might have been to be like Noah, where here you are just working a regular job and God speaks to you and says, hey, you need to make a boat that's bigger than a football field. And the first thought that I may be thinking of is like, okay, can I afford that much lumber? How much does it cost? Let me go over to Home Depot. Oh my gosh, the price is crazy, right? But what would have had to happen? Okay, if in this day God told you to construct a big old boat, now, okay, well, we can't go out to eat as much. We're going to cut back so that we can buy the lumber for this boat. Okay, I'm not going to go on that vacation because now I'm going to make sure every weekend I'm working on building this boat, right? Your entire life gets inconvenienced. Your own plans get inconvenienced, and you have to rearrange your life so that you could go and build this boat. And sometimes acting in faith is like that, right? The calling of the Lord does not come at our convenience. What happens is the Lord appears. He thrusts a calling upon you, and it's a great calling. It's something that's going to change the world and establish the kingdom of God and transform lives. But it requires you to completely rearrange your life and just surrender to the Lord. God, I don't know how I'm going to make this work, but I'm going to trust you. God, I wanted to do this other thing, but I'm going to trust you. And it is in this season, it is the doers who are going to be brought to the forefront. Those that are willing to be used mightily by the Lord and obey him in every area of their life. And so, choose this day. You know what? God, I want to seek you out and I want to obey you. Because it's not a special class of people. It's just individuals who hear the voice of God and choose to obey him. And you can be among one of those faithful few. So choose this day. I am going to serve the Lord. Amen. So I want to thank you so much for tuning in. And as I said before, Pastor Chris is preparing to go to the Philippines. So if the Lord is leading you to support that mission, then go to our website, sogmi.org, and you can hit the donate button. Or you can just donate to support this ministry if this message touched you. But again, my name is Joshua Sasso, and you've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Until next time. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630, or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Thank you.